I knew Keogh and knew him very well. He's a neighbor down here. And my folks played cards across the road there. And it was boring for me. I knew Keogh had this radio, and there was a basketball game on in Michigan State that they were going to broadcast it, so I went over and stayed with him and his wife. And he was just as nice to me as anybody could be, and he let me experiment a little bit with the headphones and the radio. And he seemed to enjoy my coming over. Mrs. Keogh was a lovely woman. Well, I can see him as clearly as I can see you in my memory. He had a shock of white hair and lots of gold teeth in front. A lady who married my cousin said that he helped dynamite some stones on their farm. She said he was wonderful to them, the children. And she said this was only, I guess, about a month before it happened, and he was crying. He was losing his farm. He didn't know what he was going to do. I played the night before in a small orchestra at a parent-teachers meeting right above that dynamite, about 10 o'clock that evening. And they say he looked in on the party, and I thought I saw him at night afterwards. And it was quite an explosion, even the 2.5 miles. My mother was on the back porch, and she called into us, and she said, "I can't see the schoolhouse." And you know, it's a strange thing for a person to say. She could see the end that went down would show through an opening in the trees normally. And almost immediately, there was a big cloud of black smoke began to go into the air. And so my father and I jumped into our Model T Ford and headed that way. And when we went over the last hill before you get to Keogh's house, we saw all of the barns were on fire and the house was on fire, and it was black, deep black smoke. And it looked like there was oil in it, like they might have soaked a haymow or something with oil. And they were all burning at once. And the wind was in the north, and the sun wasn't up very high. And it actually covered the sun. It was so black, and as the cloud floated to the south. And the rest of us started fighting the fire. The fire sparks and embers and things would land on the Hart's house across the road. They were my father's cousins. And I went up on the roof, and people would hand pails of water up to us, and we'd throw it on the roof. I remember while I was up there, the explosions in the house and the barns were just terrific. I couldn't hardly stay on that roof. And parts of the house would go 150 feet in the air. And we kept hearing about the schoolhouse, a disaster of some kind of the schoolhouse. And we thought, well, people must be mistaken, and all that came in on the telephone lines because of the smoke at the farm. But they kept saying so much about it that I drove down to Bath to see what was happening. It's only, you know, a half mile. And she called into us and she said, "I can't see the schoolhouse." And I walked across the schoolyard, and the roof of the building was down. There was about 5 little children laying along the sidewalk, dead. They'd lined them up. They were all white from plaster. And I can remember Mr. and Mrs. Sim Ewing, they were holding each other in their arms and crying, and I wondered if they hadn't found their little boy. I walked up to the building, and I watched them carry out Miss Matson, and she was white. And there were some men who had a consumer's power pole, and they were trying to lift the roof with that. And I thought, well, I'd better get out of here and go back to the farm and tell them to forget about the fire and come down here. And I got in the car and I got on the hill just before you come to the railroad track. I wasn't more than a half mile away, and he blew that car up. He killed the postmaster's father-in-law, Superintendent Hike. It hurt the town. It hurt the town. And then the Great Depression landed right on top of it following that. I think maybe the fact that there were so many people in the same boat, you see, while the funerals were going on and you learned of who was gone, at the same time people were going to the hospital. You were just as busy as you could be to see if these people were going to live or how bad they were hurt, or they were a neighbor of yours or something. And I think the feeling that everybody was in the same amount of trouble, it seemed to make a difference. They all managed to get through somehow. It was amazing how some parents seemed to get through it. They lost a lot of several children, and that may be what happens in most disasters. They all help each other and get to going. I was only 15 years old, and I was pallbearer to 4 funerals in 3 days. So you can see what you were doing. They were short of pallbearers. You try to get pallbearers for 45 people in a community of that size, and you have a problem, you know. You can't use any parents, you can't use any brothers and sisters. Some of the brothers and sisters are in the hospital anyhow. And but when you go to the cemetery, and there was nothing to see.